we're going to have a huge float in the gay pride parades. This is who I really am. I'm a lot stronger than I ever thought I would be. I was just a boy. I kind of gaga'd myself up for the show. Stephanie Victoria Spears. When I'm a boy, I go by Timothy.
Hello, this is Harry Hawk, and this is the Draggerty Project. Austin, who are we talking with today?
Today, we're going to be talking to Timothy French, who's a fashion merchandiser and drag artist based out of New York City. Timothy, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Your drag persona is Stephanie Victoria Spears. Do you mind sharing a story of how she came about?
I started doing drag about 6 years ago. It was a Halloween costume. I have friends that have been doing drag for about 15 years in Chicago, and I used to help them with their shows, and I would choreograph things, backup dance for them, and they'd always say, we want to put you in drag. You'd be so beautiful in makeup. And I was always like, it's not my thing. So finally, for Halloween 2009, I said, all right, let's do it. And I was like, I want to be Lady Gaga. I became a drag queen. kind of started from that.
That's great. I think it's funny that you said that it came from Lady Gaga, because a conversation that Harry and myself were having recently was talking about something about how Gaga herself kind of is a drag queen. Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same way? And is that partially why you wanted to drag yourself as her?
I mean, it started as it was just a Halloween costume. And then a few months later, I was going to her concert in Chicago, the Monster Ball tour. And I had been to a few of her other shows in smaller venues. And this was where she was kind of really becoming bigger and in bigger stadiums. And she was having this concert, and I decided to put myself in drag. Look back at those photos, horrible. Full makeup, but I was actually spotted from a producer from Oprah and invited on the show that she was going to be on for the first time with Oprah. And I got to sit front row center, and I got to meet her and Oprah, and James Cameron had been on the first part of the show. So I met him, and it was just this really amazing experience. When I finally got to speak with her, she was asking me, how did you get on the show? And I was wearing a silver sequins hoodie. I wasn't in drag. I was just a boy. And I kind of gaga'd myself up for the show. And she's like, is this what you wore to the show? I love it. It's such a pretty hoodie. I love sequins. And I was like, no. And I said, I came dressed as you. And she's like, what? So I showed her some photos, and she was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I had told her I was a dancer, and she was like, you should be doing this. And I was like, okay. It was just a Halloween costume that I just decided to reuse. And she was like, no, you should be doing this. This is something I think you'd be really good at. And she's like, you can name yourself after me. And I was like, Lady Gaga. And she was like, no, my real name, Stephanie. And I was like, okay. So I just started from that. It kind of really inspired me. And I've met her a few other times after that meeting with her, and she doesn't remember my name, but she always calls me her Oprah friend.
That's cool. So you go from kind of being drag adjacent with working with the choreography with all your friends into Chicago to one day, you know, deciding, hey, they think I would do this well, I'll do it for Halloween. And then all of a sudden you're on Oprah. So that was a really a big way to kick off your drag career, huh?
Yeah, it was very inspiring. Yeah, I'm inspired by a lot of artists. Gaga is one of them, probably one of my biggest inspirations, to actually like meet her and have a conversation. And that was really fun and unique.
Timothy, at one point, obviously you moved from Chicago. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like, both personally, obviously coming to a new city, but how that might have impacted your drag persona?
Came to New York to pursue more drag and to get involved in more things. Chicago is very limited. Community there is very small. And to kind of expand more and to do more things, I wanted to move to New York for that reason. So 3 years ago, I moved here. I've learned a lot about myself. The city is rough. It's hard. But I've also learned that I'm a lot stronger than I ever thought I would be. Or could be. And it's helped me become a more confident person in and out of drag. I don't worry about what people think about me. I don't worry to wear what I want to wear, what feels good to me, what I feel like I want to be as an artist. And I can do that here, where other places you're kind of limited and don't really get to be the creative individual that you might want to be or feel comfortable to be.
You talk a lot about being the artist that you want to be and how drag has allowed you to gain some confidence. Is that one of the main reasons why you continue to do drag? What does drag do for you that makes you want to keep doing it? Is it that confidence, or is there more to it as well?
There's so many layers to it that it's been a whole kind of life adventure or growth for me to get to this point where I am now. When I was younger, I grew up in a very small suburb of Detroit. I wasn't exposed to a lot of things. It's been a whole growth for me, and drag is who I am as a person. It's been a lot of heartache, a lot of struggle, a lot of self-acceptance. I'm still learning things about myself. I'm still trying to accept myself. I'm still trying to grow as an artist and as a person every day. I experiment with new makeup techniques and making costumes and different ways of performing, and it's all a big adventure, and it's exciting for me. And I love the creative aspect of it. I love choreographing for shows that I'm doing. I love making costumes. This month has been really chaotic because I've been doing all these pride things and the mermaid parade. And so I've been making all these different costumes. It's fun. It's very therapeutic for me. And it's very, how do I say this? I feel very free. This is what I'm supposed to be. And this is who I am.
Are you pushing boundaries? Mermaid parade has a lot of very wide range of looks and costumes. And do you feel like if you're in the mermaid parade, are you pushing boundaries for yourself?
Yes, this year's costume was definitely inspired by the windows for holiday at Saks. They did this whole silver white kind of theme. And when I saw the windows, I was instantly inspired by that. And I was this is going to be my mermaid costume this year. And I made my costume head to toe. I even made my shoes. I made these wedges. They're silver. And I spray painted silver seashell, the seashell silver, and I glued them on. I had all this craziness in my head, but to get the seashells to stay on the shoe, I had to take toilet paper. I know this is crazy, and mix it in with this permanent waterproof glue that I bought, so it would have a flat surface, so it would lay on wedge of the shoe. So it turned out really great, and actually was featured in all these news articles, and people were Snapchatting it, and I was getting all these messages from friends and family, I saw your shoes on this website. Or I love doing creative things with what I'm doing. And I try to do something a little different than maybe somebody else would normally do. So I think the shoes were probably the most standout piece out of everything I had on. The whole thing was high fashion, just very beautiful mermaid.
I do want to get to talking about your dance background, your choreography, your expertise in the fashion field. You talk a lot about making your own costumes. When we just spoke with Anoush Vaidya, he was talking about how he is trying to erase the boundaries between where Anoush ends and his persona begins, because he sees them as all kind of the same. So I think what I'm asking is, in a roundabout way, do you think of Stephanie as just a persona that you've created that's been able to enhance Timothy? Or do you think that Stephanie is a really important part of Timothy, and that you are the same in some way, or that you need each other, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's part of who I am. There's no separation at all. It's just been a journey to discover it and to be brave enough to embrace it. There's been a lot of struggles for me just growing up and being gay, and then dealing with all that, my sexuality, and then this whole other side of I don't really fit into a normal box of what a boy dresses like and what a boy looks like. And that's part of who I am, and that's part of my drag that's brought out my confidence that I can wear whatever I want and feel good about it. And I shouldn't care what society says or what labels I should fit into, that it's about self-expression, creativity, and love for yourself. Just doing drag for the last 6 years has really, really helped me to discover that and to find that and to embrace it. And I'm still struggling, and still there's moments where I'm insecure about myself, but we all go through that. It's just a growing process. She's definitely part of who I am.
Great. And I want to now go back to the question about choreography and fashion.
Okay.
How has your experience with dance and with choreography and with the world of fashion influenced your drag persona? And how have your different forms of art collided?
I'm a big perfectionist, I guess, just to start off saying that. So I always want to, when I'm doing a show, I really want to give it my all. I want to keep the audience engaged. I want them to be entertained. And I want them to feel good about what they're watching. So I always try to record everything so I can look back and see what I need to work on as an artist. And so the next time I can give that better show. So dance is definitely a big part of who I am and will always be. It's kind of how I started out.
Yeah, so you take dance classes?
I don't dance professionally anymore. I dance the two modern dance companies in Chicago, but I now I'm in fashion merchandising. Big difference. But dance world, it's very hard. It's very cutthroat, and it's hard to make a living and to survive and to live comfortably. So I kind of had to make a decision. Do I want to do this for the rest of my life? And I tried teaching, and teaching isn't really my thing. I love mentoring people and helping people out. Don't get me wrong, but teaching's a whole nother thing. Like, you really have to love teaching and dealing with different personalities and things like that and be patient. And sometems I don't have that. So I knew I didn't want to stay teaching dance forever. That's kind of how you have to stay in the dance world, is you also have to be a teacher and performing on top of that as well. So I had to kind of figure out, all right, this isn't something I can do for a living forever. So what do I do now? And so I started doing fashion merchandising and styling about 12 years ago.
What kind of fashion merchandising? What kind of company? What is it?
So I work for Gap Incorporated right now, and I'm actually one of the head stylists for their flagship store in New York City in Herald Square, 34th Street. So we get a lot of corporate people in our store daily. And things are getting changed around daily. We do a lot of the photography for all the other Gap stores in the company in our store. It's kind of a blueprint for the rest of the company. There's a lot of pressure with that. I'm constantly on my toes. There's always a change, and there's always a walkthrough and constructive criticism. And so I have to adapt all the minute by minute every day I'm at work. I could do one thing 1 hour, and then maybe someone from corporate comes in 2 hours later and they're like, I don't like how that looks, change it around. I have to be very adaptable and handle the mannequins in the store, dressing them, doing the windows.
Two things. Has that adaptability influenced the drag persona? But also, I mean, fashion retailing obviously is supposed to be very normal, right? You're not supposed to do anything too crazy unless the brand is one of these really out there brands, and obviously the Gap is not. Do you mm-hmm. see like the difference between, you know, Stephanie's look and compared to the more normative look of the Gap?
I struggled with that because I was with Forever 21 for like 8 years, and they're very fashion forward, and I could wear whatever I wanted, and you know, I wore a lot of crazy things. I've had to kind of tone down some things. But even in my store now, they're pretty open about things. It's just, you can't wear things that have graphics on it for the most part. But anything else, you know, as long as it's tastefully done, they don't really have an issue with me. You know, sometimes I wear a long dress to work, you know, like an oversized t-shirt kind of dress thing.
Wow.
No one gives me an issue about it. They actually like it. They think it's cool that I do that, and very accepting of, you know, different people. We have transgender people that work in the store, gay people, straight people. I mean, we're going to have a huge float in the gay pride parade this Sunday. Our windows that we changed today, they're all gay pride. We have gay pride, like Gap logo shirts with the Gap logo, and it's in rainbow, you know, colors. So they're very accepting and diverse. And it's been a good change. You know, because Forever, the company wasn't really good at embracing the LGBTQ community. And I had suggested maybe we should have like a float in the parade. And they kind of were like, no, it's great to be part of a company that does, you know, embrace the LGBT community.
when you were speaking, you were talking about the adaptability you need at work. And then before that, you were talking about the cutthroat world of dance and how it's hard to make a living. Do you see either of those two things reflected in your drag career? Do you see drag as having similarities to the cutthroat world of dance? Or do you also see adaptability being necessary in the world of fashion as being a necessary part of your drag work art?
Yes. I mean, it's very cutthroat. That's why I don't do it full time, like drag full time. I do have friends that, you know, are performers, you know, 5-6 nights a week. And they're not as passionate as when they first started out about it. You know, it's just become like, oh, I'm going to the office kind of job. You know, they're not as excited about it as they used to be, maybe when they first started out. And for me, I never want it to be that. I want it to be exciting and I want it to be fun because it is my kind of like outlet of creativity and expression. That's why I don't do it full time, because people are always like, oh, you should do this gig and this gig and that, you should work at this bar and that bar and this nightclub. And I thought about it and then I, you know, kind of examined the people that I know that do it full time here in New York. And I was seeing, you know, they're, I don't know if negative is the right word, but become just kind of like, oh, I got to get in makeup again. Oh, I got to go do a show again, you know, because I got to pay my rent, you know, so I don't ever want it to be like that for me. So, but it's definitely cutthroat. You could be, you know, working at a bar and maybe they're not doing great business and it goes out of business. And then you were working there one or two nights, you know, getting paid, you know, however much you were getting paid, and then you don't have it anymore. So now where do you go? Okay, now I got to go to the newer, latest, coolest gay bar and try and perform there and make money. And so it's like any other performer lifestyle. And how do you survive and how do you make it and create a fan base and a following? What are you known for? You know, what is your persona? And are people going to be familiar with you when they see your name on a flyer or wherever, on a sign? It's definitely a lot of pressure to be a full-time drag performer.
What do you see the possibility of drag being, and where do you see your drag taking you in the future?
I guess I have to touch upon one little thing. RuPaul's Drag Race, we all kind of know what that show is, or most people do. And when I tell people I do drag, that's instantly what they think of or they say, because it's just so popular in our culture now. And they've been on for so many years on Logo. And that's kind of how people look at what drag is. They think that all drag queens are what they see on RuPaul's Drag Race. And that's not always the case. There's many different facets and ways of expression with drag. And it's just, that's one way of showing what drag is. I definitely think it's great that show is so popular and it is in existence, but also it's also hurt the drag community a little bit in a way too, because it put us in a box of general, maybe public, that don't know the community and go out and actually go to a drag, you know, normal drag show at, you know, a nightclub or a bar in New York City. You know, they just see what they see on the show and on TV. And so then they think that's what it is. And so it's kind of hurt it and helped it in a way, if that makes any sense. So I definitely think that there's a lot more possibilities with drag. And I was very happy with the contestants that were on this past season, especially my friend Kim Chi, because he does a great like drag persona. He's so creative and he's in this whole like fantasy world, and it was just like a whole, I think, eye opener for a lot of people in the general public that watch that show. They could see like, oh, okay, well, they don't always have to be pretty. They could, you know, be this whimsical comic looking animated character, which is what Kim Chi is. And I'm not that type of drag, but I really think that type of drag is really inspiring and something that I think is kind of where drag is headed, more into that kind of going, you know, over the top, and how do I go into a more fantasy, whimsical way of doing it. It doesn't always have to be glam, pretty, pageant girl looking. So I think, you know, drag will definitely kind of develop and go into other kind of forms of expression and ways of doing it. And for me, I'm just going to keep doing what feels good And that's all I can, you know, it could change next year. You know, where I was a year ago, I'm completely different now than I was a year ago with my drag. You know, my makeup's better, learning new ways of doing my makeup, trying different looks out, things with my performances. So it's always a constant like development for me. I never want to like just kind of stay in one box and limit myself. I kind of want to like experiment and do some different things with it.
I actually do have, I said that was my last question, but I have one more. Before we go, I just like to ask if you have any recommendations for who else we should reach out to speak to for this project.
Oh, wow. You know, I could give you a whole list. My friend Tatiana Monet, my friend Victoria Falls. I think another good person that's kind of coming up in the New York scene, if you want to really like interview somebody that's doing it like full time, would be like Britta Filter. Marty Cummings would be another good one. He does a lot of stuff with drag and he does it 5 or 6 nights a week in New York City. Interview Kim Chi. He's an amazing, I don't know if you watched RuPaul's Drag Race, but he's such an amazing human being, not just as a drag performer, but just to speak with. He has like the heart of gold. Like he is such an amazingly beautiful person inside and out. And he's such an amazing artist. Like I'm just blown away with everything he creates every time he's in drag. So amazing. So, and you know, I love Bob the Drag Queen too, but I really wanted him to win this season. So, but yeah, those are, I think, some really good people that you could probably try and reach out to.
And we'll let everybody know what happens, and hopefully we'll hear from some of these lovely folk. Timothy, can you give us a little bit of a preview of what you're going to be wearing for Gay Pride in New York?
Sure. I had a whole other outfit planned, but then Britney Spears had to walk onto the red carpet at the 2016 Billboard Awards a couple weeks ago. And I was just like, whoa, I need that outfit for my Pride costume. So it's inspired by her red carpet look. And it's, she wore this black lace bodysuit with this long black sheer cape. And she had on these caged black leather thigh-high heels. So I found the shoes really cheap online, like a knockoff brand. I always do a lot of online shopping or Google searching for things. Made the lace bodysuit. And instead of having black underwear and black bra underneath, I'm doing a rainbow bra and a rainbow underwear underneath. And then for my cape, it's this beautiful rainbow sequins cape that I'm making. And on the cape, I'm actually going to be cutting out the peace sign, and then probably about 8 or 9 different languages that I'm going to write peace. So like in English, Spanish, Arabic, Chinese, because I think it's really important to kind of make a statement, especially with what has been, you know, what has happened recently in Orlando, kind of make a subtle statement with what I'm wearing. So when I turn around, you see the cape, you'll see the big peace sign at the top, and then in all the different languages coming down.
Awesome. Timothy, you talked about the need for perfection and you talked about looking at the tapes of your performances. So on some level, nothing is ever perfect. Can you embrace the imperfection while you're working to achieve it?
Yeah, it's hard for me. I notice I'll watch a video and I'll notice if I, sometimes it's really hard to do a certain move in 6-inch heels. I don't know how I do this sometimes. Yeah, now I've kind of learned I need to just start the choreography in heels and not in tennis shoes, because then when I actually start to try a dance in the heels, then I'm like, oh, I can't do this now. Okay, I got to go back and change this up a bit. There's sometimes a stage, you know, might be slippery or the lighting is really bright and it's like, whoa. And so my eyes kind of look like, ooh. So there's always something that I try to plan for things. Sometimes there's little things or glitches, just have to roll with the punches and it's a live performance and you go with it and it is what it is. I look at first performance ever till now, there's a huge growth and it's good to see that I've come this far and I'm glad that I can hand over my camera phone, be like, tape this for, you know, to one of my friends and be like, please video this for me so I can have it for myself. And also I like to share it with, you know, people that can't get to New York City that I'm friends with in Chicago or out in LA or, you know, wherever it is over in Europe. Obviously they can't come to a drag show I'm doing in New York City. It's good to be able to put that up on my YouTube or Facebook.
And totally unrelated to the interview, but two things I want to say. One, I love that you're talking about kimchi. I was a Kim stan from preseason, so I was rooting for her too. I was like, come on, come on. And I kind of knew that they were going to give it to Bob, but I was just really hoping that Kim stood a chance.
Yeah.
So I would love to speak with her. So yeah, we're going to reach out.
Yeah, and he's so busy. I mean, he's ever since he was on the show, it's just he's like traveling the world. So I don't even get to talk to him that much. You know, we would talk on Facebook or something here and there. They're just, you know, once you're on that show and you kind of get up into like the top five or six, you're set. You're good to go. You're going to be traveling. You're going to be doing all these different shows, cruise ship things, all these, you know, different events and things. So
it's amazing.
I'm happy for him because he's actually a really great, great human being inside.
I mean, his artistry is brilliant, but every time, even on the show, but even before that, just following him on social media, when he says things, you know, he's really brilliant. He's just a very caring person. And I love how he talks about the community and the better things that we could be doing as a community. And so I just think he's really, really awesome.
I was very happy. And I know this is like unrelated to what we were probably talking about. And I just auditioned for Drag Race. I probably won't get picked or anything, but I spoke about, you know, how the community has become very divided in recent years. And a lot of it has to do with the way we interact through a phone now behind a computer. And so it's really changed how we interact with each other. And there's been all these labels put on us community, fought so hard for so many years and to become accepted, and we have marriage equality now. But now within the community, there's all these different labels, fat, or you're too femme, or you're a pause, or you're this, you're black, you're white. There's always all these little labels that we're putting on each other. And it's kind of like, that's not how this all started out. And I try to wrap my head around it because I'm 37 now. And when I was in my early 20s, people didn't really have cell phones still. You called your friend and you made plans for your friends or whatever, and you met them at the bar. And if you didn't meet them on time and they went to another bar, you were out of luck. So it was like, you needed to be there on time. You needed to have a set plan because there was no texting. There was no phone call. You know, there was no Facebook, you know, all these other ways of interacting and saying, oh, I'm late or whatever it is. Just that has changed a lot. I think this thing that's happened in Orlando is very, very tragic. I am hoping that out of this tragedy that reunites us as a community and we start loving each other more, because we definitely need to start embracing each other for our individuality, for our differences, fat or skinny or Asian or black or femme or mask or whatever it is, that we all just accept each other for who we are and have a lot more respect for each other and politeness. There's been a lot of just rude disrespectfulness happening and things happening. And it saddens me to see that, because I don't ever want to treat somebody poorly and I don't want to be treated poorly. So when I see other people doing it, it really, really angers me and saddens me. And I usually speak up and say something. And it's because I myself have been ostracized and put down for who I am as a person, and we should be embracing each other and loving each other, because the rest of the world is not going to do that. So where can you go to find that?
I very much have the same hope.
I think we have what we need for this conversation.
Thanks to everybody for listening to this episode of the Draggedy Project. Timothy, do you just want to give some of your social media links?
Sure. My Facebook is facebook.com/posh, P-O-S-H, twink, T-W-I-N-K, and boy, but B-O-I, so posh twink boy with an I. Or my Instagram, which is posh twink boy as well, but with an I. And my YouTube is the same.
And you can follow Harry Hawk and myself on social media. Harry Hawk, you can follow at H Hawk, and you can follow myself, Austin Greitz, at Rainbow Squirtle. That's RAINBOWSQUIRTLE. We thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Draggedy Project. Please check out our website for links to other episodes, as well as to performers and members of the drag community. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
My name is Chuck Fresh, and I'm not a drag queen, but I certainly do love hearing about them. Austin and Harry hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you liked it, or even if you didn't, please subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. And please visit us at draggedy.com. That's draggedy.com to find other episodes, photos of performers, and links to the drag community. I didn't regret it, and neither will you. Please feel free to tweet us with any feedback or suggestions, including guests at Draggedy Project.